So, what is Japa meditation? Margie, you said you looked it up. What did you find?
Well, it sounds like chanting and different mantras, maybe.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
So that, oh, that reminds me. Don't go away. I'm going to pause the
Okay.
recording because I need, there's a what do you call it? An exhibit I need to use for this. So stand by. All right, I've got my show and tell item. So, yes, this japa has to do with chanting or mantra. And I will read you the definitive definition from Wiki. If it's on the Wikipedia, it must be true. Japa is a Sanskrit word, and the practice is about meditative repetition of a mantra, which can be. Well, we'll discuss what the mantra can be in a moment. It's a practice that's found in Hinduism, Jainism, Sikhism, and Buddhism. And then there's parallels in Christianity, Islam, and probably other religions also. So the Sanskrit word that japa is derived from means to mutter. Mutter. And that sort of describes the practice. I should say I've been doing it this past week. I've been trying it out with some guided meditations, and then once I had the idea, I did it with my own mantra. And so I do understand why it might be called muttering. The main thing about it is that you're going to repeat a mantra. Yes, Happy Mother's Day, Uncle Don says. Okay, that threw me off. You're going to repeat a mantra of your choice, depending on which tradition you're doing this in. If you're doing it as a Hindu japa, it might be the various names of the deities. If you're doing it as a Hare Krishna japa, which is one of the guided meditations I came across, although I didn't do it, they were chanting the Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Rama Rama thing. If you're doing it as a Buddhist, it might be well, depending on which strain of Buddhism, it could be an initiation mantra, so something specific to you when you take on robes. It might be one of the names of the Buddha. It might be Om Mani Padme Hum. It could be many things. If you're doing it in Christianity, might be the Lord's Prayer or the Hail Mary. So it could be a whole prayer. If you're doing it in a secular modern version, it might be affirmations or intentions. And you repeat it. Now there's four different ways of doing this repetition. Oh, hello, Eden. That's Anna's cat. He's adorable. One of her cats. It's degrees of loudness that you can do it in. I won't try and pronounce the words that each version of loudness is called, but the loudest you would do it is loud enough for other people to hear, but not with the intention for other people to hear it. That's just to give you an idea of how loud it would be. So quiet, but out loud. Then, this is more powerful, depending on who you read. It can be 10 times more powerful to do it whispered. So you're whispering, your lips are moving, but not necessarily that much. But there's a little bit of, Okay. Then, if you want to get 100 times more powerful, you do it silently in your mind. And then there's one other version where you write your mantra and repeat it as you're writing it. And apparently there's special books that you get to do this in. So that's another way of doing it. Oh, and just as an aside, the Tibetan prayer wheels, are you familiar with those? You might have seen them in, because all of you will have been to Tibetan temples. They're typically round, like cylindrical things, and you can spin them, and they'll have some writing on it that might be, some scripture or names of God or something. And as you spin it, that's like repeating it. And so it's a practice as you enter the temple or whatever to spin the prayer wheels as you go by them. That's also considered a japa meditation in Tibetan Buddhism. Now, typically, it's not required, but typically, this is also done with what they call a mala, which is a string of beads. So you're going to hold the bead, say your mantra, go to the next bead, say your mantra. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yes, I did. Thank you, Uncle Don. Can you think of anything that reminds you of?
Rosary.
I happen to have here a rosary, which was given to me by someone. It's from Medjugorje, which is some famous place. So, anyway, someone gave this to me. I've been using this. A japa string of beads. Or a mala typically will have 108 beads on it. And then it will have one bigger bead at the head called the head bead. So these, because you're going to be doing a certain number of your chants, these beads help you keep track of it. Now, in the rosary, you get 10 beads and then you have a little break, and then you get 10 more and you have a little break. And I think you're supposed to do like the Hail Marys and then Our Father and Hail Mary and Our Father or something like that. I'm not Catholic, but same sort of idea to help you keep track of where you are. So I can tell when I get to having done it 10 times. Now, in fact, when I've been doing it by time, not by number. And I find that it's not so much helpful to for me to keep track of how many times I'm saying my mantra, but it just helps me to focus and to not space out. So you've got your beads. As I say, that's not required in every version of japa that I have read about, but most of them have the beads. So the aims of doing this practice will vary again depending on which tradition you're doing it in. If you're a Hindu, and this is not, these are some examples. This is not exhaustive and this is not limited to. So if you're doing it in a Hindu way, you're probably doing names of gods or deities, and it's an act of devotion. If you're doing it in Buddhism, could be an act of devotion, could also be a way to reach enlightenment. Again, depending on which school you're in, which mantra they give you, etc., etc. Generally, with some of the other ways of doing it, it's just generally communion with the divine, or connecting with the source, or becoming one with the universe. In some Buddhist practices, as I mentioned, it's an initiation. So you take on your robes, you get given a mantra, and then you do your japa for however many times as part of your initiation practice. And then there's a thing called a japa japa or a japa japa. The A negates what comes before it. So if japa means repetition, which it also means besides murmuring, repetitive murmuring, a japa japa is unrepeated, repetitionless repetition. Or in other words, it's just going on automatically, without you really having to pay attention to it. Which, by the way, sounds very similar to that Jesus prayer we talked about a couple months ago in the Eastern Orthodox Church, where they repeat the prayer. They don't even have to believe it or anything, but they repeat it over and over until it's just going in their minds, and that's what they're calling praying without ceasing. So it's just interesting to me that this type of practice pops up everywhere. And my guess is that it's because it's effective for something. And so we can talk in a minute about what it might be effective for. But first, let's talk about exactly how to do it. Shall we do that, or shall we jump to why we might do it? Let's talk about instructions, since that's how I wrote my outline. So, you always start, it seems, with a moment of focusing on the breath in order to center yourself or ground yourself. It seems to come up in a lot of different techniques. And then when you're ready, you take your first bead. So I'm skipping on this part, which is something Catholic, and I'm just starting with the first bead here. And you're supposed to go around like clockwise or counterclockwise or something, but I'm not sure how you can really tell. Think it depends on how you hold the beads. But anyway, you hold it, and again, depending on who you read, you either hold it with your thumb and forefinger, or your thumb and your middle finger. And when it's your thumb and your middle finger, it's because the forefinger represents the ego, and you don't want your ego involved with your chanting. I find it's a little more awkward this way, but maybe that just helps me to concentrate to have to pay attention more. Oops, see. So I tried it with the middle finger, but mostly I've been involving my ego. So you can either just hold it still and you're just going to use it for counting. Go to the next, go to the next. Or while you're doing your mantra, you can sort of roll it in your fingers, and feel the sensation in your fingers as well as the sensation in your body as you make the sound, or in your mind as you think it. After you finish your mantra, you move to the next one, do it again. Next one, do it again.
Is the japa always done with the prop, with the beads?
Mostly I found that it was. I did find in I don't know, one place I read it said it wasn't necessary. So I'm not certain. I didn't check out the what's it called? Accuracy of every site I looked at. So I'm not certain, but certainly the majority of places I looked at had you using the beads. If you come all the way around and you come back to the head bead, oh, hang on, we've got a visitor. Let me just ask.
Close your eyes.
No, I'm going to ask him. Good evening. Brings you here tonight? And we'll see what he says. So if you reach the head beat again, it's important that you don't go past the head beat and keep on going. What you do when you get there is you turn it around and you go back. I don't know why, but that's what the instructions say. Now, one of the places that I read sounded like they knew what they were talking about, said that those different loudnesses, they said you do 27 out loud, 27 repetitions, and then you do 27 repetitions whispering, and then you do 27 repetitions silently. Other places said that out loud is more for beginners. And you work your way up to being able to do it silently. It seems to me like it's sort of like gears on a car. It seemed to me like it's a matter of how well you're focusing, because it's going to be easier to stay focused if you're saying it out loud. And my guess is that that's why they sort of advance it, help you get focused, and then you can go quieter and quieter. And if you're aiming for that, oh, excellent. Stand by. I'm going to let Charles in. Okay, I'm going to pause the recording for a moment. Okay, so where were we? We were talking about, that. Doing it louder is probably helpful to maintain concentration. And doing it silently is probably a little harder. And so that may be why there's this progression. So, anyway, that's the basic instructions of Japa. Any questions or comments so far about that?
I was just rummaging through my cabinets because I have a mala here somewhere, but I can't find it. I know a friend of mine gave it to me.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
know where I put it.
Okay,
I'll find it. I'll find it as soon as we're done tonight, I'm sure.
well, we're going to talk about how it relates to what we've been typically doing here for the past years in styles of meditation, and I'll have some suggestions on what to do if you don't have your beads. So you're good there. So yes, how does this relate? This is not the type of meditation I typically teach. But in fact, it turns out when I look at it closely that it is. It's just a variation on what I typically teach. Obviously, it's a mantra technique, and we've talked about mantra. I should mention it comes up from time to time. What's the difference between this and TM? And some of the differences are that TM is a religion in itself. This is just a technique that is used in different religions and different strains of different religions, and also non-religiously in secular sense. With this, you can choose any mantra you want. You can change it up anytime you want. You can make it up yourself. In TM, they give it to you and you have to pay them to get it. And I don't believe TM uses beads. So I'll just throw that out there. That's how it's different from TM. And that's also how it's different from a lot of the chanting that we might be somewhat familiar with. Someone mentioned the chanting that happens at Shinzen's retreats, or used to happen at his retreats when he was doing it live, where you would have an hour of just chanting Om Mani Padme Om, and he bangs the thing to keep a rhythm. There's no beads involved in that, but it is the same concept of making the noise and hearing it, feeling it, and it sort of becomes automatic. And it becomes a concentration technique. You're going to focus on the sound, you're going to focus on the vibration. if you're using a mantra that has meaning, if you're using an affirmation or a prayer that you know, or if you happen to know what Om Mani Padme Om means and you want to focus on it, you can also focus on the meaning. But that's not a necessary part of the instruction. As I mentioned, I think it is primarily a concentration practice. We've been talking a lot about concentration practices. And so here's another one for those of us, and I know there's at least a few here, including myself, who can find concentration difficult. We've talked about the breath. We've talked about looking at that candle. Here we are chanting and using our beads to help us focus. So a concentration practice. If the mantra that you are choosing is you're choosing it because it has some positive meaning for you, then you can also, this can fall into the nurture positive bucket of techniques. So, again, in the secular world, that would be affirmations. In the Shinzen UM world, that would be, in this case, using a phrase or words to bring up some positive emotion, or even maybe not positive emotion, maybe behavior change. You know, maybe your mantra is, I got this. You're in a difficult situation and I got this, I got this, I got this. That can give you confidence. Then it would fall into a nurture positive. And again, that's up to you. What is your intention? What is your aim? And what mantra are you going to choose? Now, the beads, I've said this several times now, the beads are a tool. I didn't read anywhere anyone saying something about the beads being magical. They're to help you, if you're counting, they're to help you keep track of how many you've done. If you're not counting, it's sort of like, walking a labyrinth or doing labels out loud, that having that little bit of mental effort on something small can help you focus on the main thing. So trying to repeat the mantra to myself in my head without the beads is harder than if I put a little bit of attention on the sensation of the bead. Even if I'm not saying it out loud. So it's a tool. It's a tool to help you focus. Which means if you don't have beads, what else can you do as a tool? You could just use your fingers, or do it by tens. Since I'm using a rosary, these are in little packs of 10. You can just use your fingers to count up to 10 and then start over. There might be something else that you can come up with. Maybe you can make something that just helps you. That just reminded me. I was in Japan once long ago, staying at the temple actually where Shinzen had been ordained in the 60s. I was staying there in the thousands. But my window overlooked the temple bell that was rung at various times. It had to be rung for a certain number of times. It was this huge bell, and there was a sort of a log, and they would throw the logs on a rope, and they would swing it and hit the bell. And then they'd wait for it to go silent, and then they'd swing it again. Trying to remember how many times you've hit that bell, must be difficult, because I watched the monk who did it every morning. He had a row of stones on a beam that was part of what held the bell up. Nothing fancy, just I think he'd pick them up off of the gravel, and every time he rang it, he'd move stone over and move a stone over. And when he ran out of stones, he knew that he'd done it enough. So you could do that. Get some stones or spoons or whatever, lay them out and move them back and forth. Whatever's going to help you to focus. And as we've said, you don't need to use anything at all. But in the what seems to me to be the traditional sense of Japa meditation, it seemed to be that they used beads most of the time. So that's that. Our focus spaces, again, to put it into unified mindfulness terms, and what I typically teach is if you're doing it out loud, you're using hear out. You might be using feel out to feel the vibrations and definitely to feel the beads. When you're doing it silently, you're using hear in, focusing on that internal auditory space. And if you're using this as a nurture positive practice, you might also be having emotional response and focusing on that. And then you're using feel in. Yeah, it looks like a very different practice from what I typically teach, but it turns out that it just falls into all the categories that we need. We know the focus range, we know the instructions, we know it's teaching us concentration, clarity, it will be teaching us because we have to pay attention to the bead and move on to the next bead. If we find that we've dropped our mala, then we know that we've lost our concentration or our clarity. And then equanimity, of course, is always built by trying not to be distracted, and by not judging ourselves when we think that we're not doing it right, which is bound to happen, even though we are doing it right. But that equanimity is always an important part too. So. That is Japa meditation, repetitive muttering.